Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Streaming with us here today, we're so glad that you could join with us virtually. And I'd say, Matt, you know, it kind of feels like a winter day, except I looked at my weather forecast, supposed to be at 70 later this week or something. That just doesn't seem right now, does it? So anyway, it's just a busy time, and I do encourage everyone to take advantage, as Matt said, to kind of take some time and slow down and consider this wonderful gift of Christ given to us. We've been talking about this gift over the past several weeks, and with that gift, so many of the things that go with it, and the gift of Christ to us just magnifies and just comes out in so many different ways to impact our life. We've been looking the past several weeks, considering this great gift, the greatest gift of all. And look at Romans chapter 6, verse 23. We've read this together. We're going to read it together again this morning. Let's join me if you would. Ready? For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you're like, well, Pastor, why have you been having us read this every single week? Because we need to understand what it's really all about. This wonderful gift of Christ to us brings to us the gift of eternal life. That we don't have to, as we've spoken in the past several weeks, we don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear the unknown, that God has secured for us an eternal salvation. And so we're going to explore another benefit today. And today we're going to turn our attention to this next one. We've read about Jesus being born. Our text to us, we're kind of working backwards today. Last week we worked at Simeon. We're just going to back up a few verses in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20, right after Jesus was born. So Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. This is one of my favorite portions of Scripture. There's several Christmas carols that are written about this time. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. How many of you like the shepherds in the Christmas story? You like the shepherds? Have you relate with the shepherds? Have you smell like a shepherd? Have you sit next to somebody who smells? Never mind. It says, and an angel, there's a reason they're outside keeping their flocks. Okay. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. We're going to talk about the significance today of the angels appearing to the shepherd with this message. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. I know I would be. I'd be startled just all of a sudden being out there minding my own business, and there's an angel, and not only the angel, but the glory is all around. I mean, it is just there. It says, and the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and laying in a manger." Let's continue on. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, with which the Lord has made known to us.'" Continuing on. "And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they had made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for they had for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. All right. So the past several weeks, as we've talked about the gift of Jesus to us, we've talked about that along with, you know, this wonderful salvation, that we've seen that Christ in our lives brings us a divine direction. We saw that through Joseph. We saw it through all those events. We talked about how with Anna, that there's this wonderful redemption. Christ revalues our life. Our life once was of no value and lost, and now because of Jesus, we have purpose. We have a reason every day to wake up in the morning. Okay? We have redemption. We have been redeemed. Last week we talked about having a perfect peace. We looked at Simeon and how because of Jesus in our life, we don't have to worry. We don't have to fret. We don't have to be freaking out. He's not losing it in the storm. We don't need to lose it in the storm. Okay? Even in serious things in our lives, our times, our life is in His hands. And so we can have a perfect peace. Now today, we're going to talk about another gift, and it's a very weird word today. Because of Jesus, we can have impregnable joy. Impregnable joy. We don't use that word very much, especially around the Christmas story. Someone said, Mary wasn't impregnable. She became conceived. No, different use of the word there. Impregnable is a word that we don't use often. It actually means, incapable of being defeated. Impregnable, like an impregnable fortress. It can't be overcome. It cannot be defeated. It cannot be subdued. Think about the joy that we have through Christ. It cannot be defeated. It cannot be overcome. It cannot be subdued. We can have a joy that transcends everything. The Apostle Paul probably frames it best for us as he talked in writing to the Christians in Rome, in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 32. Paul says, what then shall we say to these things? And he just gave a list of all the difficulties that sometimes come in our lives. And yes, we can have some hard times. But he says, look, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? In other words, we can have joy no matter what's going on because God is with us. And by the way, that's one of the names referred to of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. We don't have, because of Jesus, we don't have a distant deity that is not relating to us, is not our closest companion and friend. Because of Jesus, we now can have relationship with God. And if God's with us, who can be against us? That's reason for us to have joy. Come on, somebody. That's reason for us to rejoice no matter what's going on. So, excuse me, a couple thoughts for us today as we consider this impregnable joy that we have in Jesus. Okay? So let's start, because now we want to focus on who received this message from the angels. Why shepherds? There's all kinds of people around. There were merchants, there were traders, there were all kinds of different folks around. And yet, there were craftsmen, there were blacksmiths, and it came to shepherds. Which begs the question, why shepherds? And to answer that question, we got to understand shepherds. So, my first thought today is we can have joy because we are God's chosen. I know that's going to ruffle a lot of feathers here, but guess what? God chose you. Isn't that great news? Okay? And we can get into an entire doctrinal debate, blah, blah, blah. The bottom line is this. The fact that you have received salvation from God, that should give you joy. The fact that God loved you enough that He knocked on the door of your heart, you responded, thank the Lord that He knocked on the door of your heart. Amen? Okay? Says this. I want you to consider this. Why shepherds? Because shepherds were actually stigmatized people. And you can go all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter 46. Okay? So if we go back to the captivity, children of Israel are in captivity in Egypt, and Joseph is giving instructions as his family is now coming down to live. And Joseph, if we read something in Genesis 46, it's kind of crazy. He tells his brothers to say to Pharaoh when they're coming down to Egypt, he says, "You shall say, your servants have been keepers of livestock even from our youth until now, both we and our fathers." And now he tells them why. "In order that you may dwell in the land of Goshen, and here, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians." Okay? So shepherds were not a really high caste of the social stratus, okay? These were not well thought of people. In fact, if you read Dr. Joachim Jeremias, does a pretty good discourse and study on shepherds. And he says that shepherds were often despised in everyday normal life. And in general, they were considered a tier of second class citizens. Some shepherds, he goes on to write, some shepherds earned their poor reputations, but others simply became victims of a cruel stereotype. He wrote that to buy wool or milk or a kid from shepherds was forbidden because there was the assumption that they very well could have been stolen property. These are individuals here. The religious leaders maligned shepherds' good names. In fact, rabbis banned pasturing sheep and goats in Israel except in the desert plains. And in the Mishnah, which is the written record of the oral law, it also reflects a profound prejudice against shepherds, referring to shepherds in belittling terms. One passage describes them as incompetent, and it goes on to say that people shouldn't feel obligated to rescue a shepherd who has fallen into a pit because they probably got there when they deserved it. In fact, some early rabbis wondered about the 23rd Psalm. Why in the world do you say, "The Lord is my shepherd"? Why would you choose a shepherd? Shepherds, my point is this, Jeremiah documents the fact that shepherds were often deprived of their own civil rights. They were not allowed to fulfill judicial offices or be admitted in court as witnesses. So these stigmatized, these overlooked, these looked down upon individuals, why on earth would the angels have been sent to them? Surely you could have got somebody with a higher class of character, somebody a little more reliable. Why in the world would God have chosen those individuals to receive this probably the most amazing, most profound message, the best news clip in the world? Because God chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. Shepherds were often loners, and they are often solitary individuals. They like to keep on their own. And so what does this mean? To us, this means something profound. It means something to us because the fact that God chose shepherds lets us know that God's not a respecter of persons. And I got to tell you, this is why I love shepherds, because I relate to them. And yet God chose me. Thank you, Jesus. That's why I have joy. Y'all may have thought, "Hey, well, I deserve Christ." I know that I didn't. And yet, I am chosen. Woo! My voice won't let me do what I want to do today. But it brings me joy. And we don't say, we don't deserve God's choosing on our merit, gang. I think some of us need to have a colectomy here, because we need to understand you didn't deserve the salvation that God offers you. And because He has offered it to you, it should do something. It should bring you joy. I know that this opens a huge can of worms. Did we choose God or did God choose us? He knocked on that door of our heart and we responded. And the fact that He knocked, we should rejoice. Look at Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26 through 29. Let's all read this together, gang, because y'all acting like you need to fall asleep or something. Ready? Take a breath. Ready? "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose that what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. We don't deserve it. So be thankful. Be thankful. Have joy. Rejoice. You know, I know people who kind of have this attitude. I wouldn't want to be a member of any club that would have me as a member. You know what I'm talking about? Newsflash. You can't. You, on your own merit, you don't deserve to be a member of the family of God. And yet, you have been adopted into God's family. You're now sitting. I mean, think about that. You got a seat at the table. I've spoken a lot about going to Cuba and how, what a wonderful time. But I remember going to Cuba and they had this, you know, big dinner. We went there to be servants. We went there to serve. We went there to serve. And I remember they had this large meal and I was ushered in and had a seat at the table with all these other pastors and all these leaders. I'm not a pastor here in this country. I just wanted to come and just be a blessing and install a toilet and clean things and, you know, share Christ and whatnot. And I remember just how humbled I was to sit at the table with these church leaders and these Christian leaders throughout the nation of Cuba. And in fact, I don't deserve to sit here, but it was such a wonderful thing. You have a seat at the big table. You're not being sent to the kids' table off somewhere else. You got a seat at the table. That should bring joy. The Apostle Peter, if you don't like Paul's words, let's look how Peter says it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We don't deserve it. Let's be thankful. It's why we have joy. What a great example. The fact that God chose shepherds to receive this message means that God comes to the common man. God comes to those. Doesn't matter what your past is. Doesn't matter. God knocks on your heart. He can redeem you. He can give you purpose and hope and a calling. And that should bring us a joy that transcends everything. So let's look at how these individuals chose to respond. Because, you know, we come from, you know, I jokingly refer to Piketuckee and all this stuff. And you know how it is when you come from a small town and you're in a rural community and then you kind of go to the big city. You know, it's a little different. You know, people who know people, big city folks sometimes don't always look at us like we've got all of our stuff together. You know what I mean? Yeah. You can leave your shoes at the door. You've been in the hog lot. Okay. Luke 2, 15 through 16. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another something that confounds me. Because I don't think that they were oblivious to this stereotype. In fact, some of them probably were like, you know what? These people in cities are jerks. Hello? City folk. Anybody ever thought city folk? Oh, come on, I've heard you. Yeah, I know you do. Yeah, we go out, you out to farm and home and you see people going around, you're like, mm-hmm, obviously they're from out of town, right? We know how we roll. When the angels went away, they said to him, they said to one to another, let's go over to Bethlehem. That don't sound like something that's probably real high on their priority list. I don't like to go to Chicago. Some people do. I don't. I don't like going to the big city. It kind of drives me crazy a little bit. I don't like the traffic. I don't like the pace. I don't like those things. I always feel like my head's got to be on a swivel at things. I don't worry about being mugged here. I don't. Now, I get it. Sometimes things happen. But he said, let's go over to Bethlehem to see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Okay, this is the shepherds. Let's do what? Let's go to a city. Isn't that somewhat out of their character? I've just showed. Yes, it is. It's somewhat out of their character, gang. Let's leave our flocks at night. This is not how shepherds act. Shepherds don't leave their flocks at night. They're no longer just shepherds because now they're following something greater. And that is your calling as well, to follow something greater. So the second reason that we have joy is not just because we're chosen, but impregnable joy brings new priorities as we follow something greater. We now have a greater purpose. And I want you to know, this totally changed everything in their priority. A shepherd's number one priority is what, gang? Their sheep. And now, something is of a greater priority than their sheep? Yep. And so, my question is, as Christ, this gift of Jesus has come to your life, have your priorities changed? And if you can honestly say, no, they're still kind of the same, I want you to go back and rethink it. Because Christ comes and messes everything up. Jesus in your life is not business as usual. It will change how you parent. It will change how you operate in commerce. It'll change your business. It'll change your family. It'll change your professional life. It will change everything. And if we have the audacity to say, I want your salvation, but I don't want you to affect any other, I don't want any other impact in my life, you don't get it. You don't get it. Jesus comes and literally turns over the tables of our life. Now, they have a greater priority than their livelihood. Are you willing to follow Christ and have it affect how you work professionally? I know a lot of individuals who had to leave and change drastically how they conducted their business from unethical standards because of Christ in their life. I know individuals who had to just walk away from their businesses before and walk away how they did things because God's way of living life is different than the world's way of living life. Can I get an amen to that? We don't forget that. It changes everything. It changes how we compete. It changes how we go through our life. He wants to challenge your business as usual. Christ comes into our life, gang, so that we can follow something greater. And this means new priorities. And I would tell you, it will feel like things are overturned, and I encourage you, embrace it. Embrace it. Embrace it for the challenge to pursue Christ. I love how the shepherds, you can see their new priorities because they were willing to leave their comfort zone to pursue Christ. Saint something shepherds say, these are as country folk as you can get, and they're going to Bethlehem. They're going to be around people. I get, you know, some of us are introverts, some of us are extroverts. It's a little easier for me to be around people. You know what? Sometimes Christ pulls me out of my comfort zone. And this is not a personality shaming thought at all. I'm just telling you this. Don't hide behind your personality to not pursue Christ. Don't hide behind anything. When the Holy Spirit moves upon us, He gives us an idea that we can have new priorities in our life because He will now become our greatest priority. Let's continue on as we get ready to wrap up our message here today in our third thought, going on to verses 16 through 20. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Now, let us pause right there. That meant that shepherds who were looked down upon, shepherds who were often not trusted, shepherds who were this kind of second class tier of citizens, now they're going out and they're proclaiming the truth. You don't think, again, they knew, I really believe that they knew what other people thought of them. What the common thought was, and yet, they didn't care. Oh, wouldn't it be great to live in a society where we didn't care what other people thought? Facebook is out of business. Instagram's out of a Twitter. Who doesn't care? I don't care how many people tweet or follow. I don't care about that. You know what's important to me? What he says. Wouldn't that be great if we could, if as a society we could heal ourselves of the cancer of worrying about what everybody else thinks? My heavens, what would that change? Eliminate so much anxiety, so much stress, mental health of our kids be so much better than worshiping this stupid, ridiculous idolatry of pride. It says, when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. There's probably a lot of reasons why that verse is there. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. People like to make fun of us country folks. And I know that there's, you know, sometimes when I do get around, you know, some larger area people and kind of, you know, I just own it. Yeah, I come from a small rural community, this, and, oh, you have livestock. Oh, you did, you know, not us, our families, things like that. You can feel, am I oblivious? Do you know that people, you feel it when they look down their nose at you? I feel it. I'm not oblivious to that stuff. I'm keenly aware when I'm around individuals, you know, metro folks. I know this. I can feel their angst because it is actually palpable. I mean, you can feel it. And I'm sure that these shepherds were aware of it as well. But here's the beautiful point. They just didn't care anymore. Okay? Because something had happened. And what a beautiful gift for Christ to us that we can have an impregnable joy that no longer worries about what other people think about us except the Almighty. It can happen to you if you allow it. Third point, final point today. Impregnable joy allows us to be more concerned with our calling than others' response. We can be more concerned with our calling than how people respond. We discuss these perceptions of shepherds in the culture and the society of the time. And again, I believe that they were aware of it, but something wonderful had happened because of the gift of the Christ child to them. It no longer mattered. You can have joy when other people look down their nose at you, because if you know what your Father thinks about you, it's going to be okay. And let me tell you what God thinks about you. Ready? Are you ready? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save him. I tell you what, gang, your mission must matter more. Your mission needs to matter more. Charlotte, you can come up. Your mission needs to matter more than what other people think about you. In fact, your mission needs to matter more than what you even think of yourself. How many of you ever thought, well, I don't really want to say anything because what if I say the wrong thing? Or why? God couldn't possibly use me. I'm not a perfect person. I don't know everything. What if they ask me a question I don't know the answer to? Newsflash, if you know God, you know the answer. Just point them to Him. It doesn't matter what you think of yourself. What's more important is what God thinks of you. I'm going to tell you, He loves you. And I think sometimes He wonders, why do we settle and we live so far underneath the standard in which He purchased for us to be liberated and free, to grow and to pursue Him? Impregnable joy allows us to be more concerned with our calling than our fear. Fear keeps us locked up. It keeps us in bondage, and God allows us to not have to be held captive by our fear. Our past. Any person in this room who has a past, you don't need to be bound by that anymore. You can have joy that what God says about your future is greater than what the world says about your past. God called you. And that's all that matters. And that should be a reason that we can rejoice, that we can have joy. And now, gang, this time of year, there are people who are hurting. Christmas can be a painful reminder of loss for many. And just as God sought you out, our calling, like the shepherds, is to go and to seek out people who need the very same message of love and hope. Be sensitive, don't be obtuse, but remember your joy, an impregnable joy in your eternal calling in Christ. Bring them love and bring them light. You are called and chosen to follow something greater. You're called to share the hope that has been revealed, and you are guarded by an impregnable joy. My challenge for all of us as we continue through our journey during this time of Advent is to check your priorities, to check your level of joy, not to worry about what anyone else says, but to focus on what your Father in heaven says to you, and let your life be turned upside down. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, and would you pray?
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.